Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Help me out. So this week I was stuck. I was a little stuck on how to do the open and which one to do.
You were stuck? So, like you had choices.
There's choices. Oh, yeah, there's choices. Okay. There's choices for open this week. So
okay.
I'm gonna play. Maybe you know what? Let's play. You tell me which one you want to use. Tell me which one you want.
Okay.
I'll play the first one first. Okay. I switched it up a little bit. The drums got a little too much to bring out, so I try to change it up. And you know, I hear the young kids now are sampling. I hear sampling's a thing now.
You hear sampling.
I hear the sampling's a thing. So, all right. So let me put my sampler machine on. Hold on, buddy. Right, here we go. That's me on the sampler right there. Yeah.
Trump's going to try to take all the credit for this police reform happening, but let's be clear. This is about the people in the streets.
That's an aha.
I just took a COVID test. Turns out I've already had that shit.
Ha! That's a ha.
Ha ha ha.
Syphilisy.
Seriously?
Okay, so that's the first one.
Okay.
That's the first one.
Okay.
That's the first one.
Uh-huh.
Is it okay? Can I play the second one? I don't want to
waste
too much to myself.
Please.
Okay. Okay. So it was either that one or this one.
Hmm.
Yes, me on the
Trump's going to try to take all the credit for this police reform happening, but let's be clear. This is about the people in the streets.
You heard that part.
Ah.
You heard that part.
Got it.
Yes, I have had a little Rona. That's why my test was positive. That's a ha.
Ha ha.
Syphilisy.
Yep. Guess who had the Rona? 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 Rona. I had the Rona. I guess I had the Rona. Oh, I should have done it. You know what? I should have done that. That's
you simple. Had a that's, little Rona?
I had a little Rona. That's why my test was positive.
Seriously.
I've had the Rona. Sybil, yesterday. I went to, 2 days ago, I went to the doctor Monday. Yeah, earlier this week, I went to the doctor. Because I was like, I'm just going to get a test. No symptoms, no anything, but people were like, it's easier to get tests now. So I go to my awesome doctor, Dr. Mimka.
Dr. Benny
Bumatz. Mr. Benny Bumatz. And I did the nasal. There's two of them you can take. So in case you don't know, I'm very excited. So I'm going to try to slow down. One tells you if you have it currently, which mm-hmm. is the one where they stick the Q-tip up your nose.
Oh,
and the cool
God.
Thing is,
okay,
what you don't seem to realize that it's eyes, ears, nose, and throats. Because when you push a Q-tip up your nose, it can actually come out of your ear. I mm-hmm. found that out as they tested for my COVID.
Because they pulled it out of your ear.
They pulled it. They put it into my nose and out of my ear. That's how far up my nose. That Q-tip just, went.
Just your nose. Okay.
My brain, my brain was like, hey, what's this tickling to me? I'm like, no way. So that's the one that tells you if you currently have it. Then
you
they
had
take
a Q-tip
blood.
Tickler. Uh-huh.
I had wow. a Q-tip tickler. And then they take blood, and the blood test is the antibody test. And if you mm-hmm. if your antibody test comes back negative, you've never had the antibodies. But if it comes back positive, mm-hmm. it means you've had the COVID and that your body has built up these things called antibodies to try to fight the COVID,
wow.
right? And it's with anything, like when you have a cold, your body builds up immunity because it builds the antibodies. So I got my test results yesterday.
And
what you want is a negative positive, negative current, negative brain tickle,
uh-huh.
positive blood. Negative brain tickle, I don't have it. Positive blood means that I had the COVID. And my body beat it. Yes, yes, my body beat it. And do you know what that means?
Oh, yeah.
COVID free.
Yes.
COVID free. Ah!
That's yeah. awesome. So
yeah. Yeah.
can they can they determine how long ago you had it? Can they track it that way?
No, no. So I had a flu like, so I went to right before the world locked down, my dumb ass went to Trinidad for Carnival. So I think I felt flu-ish after that. I had a bit of a flu, but I took Tamiflu and I kicked it. So I was like, well, that can't be Corona because Corona can't be kicked by Tamiflu. And that I haven't had my hydroxychloroquine clom. So I took Tamiflu, but evidently I had whatever it is. It was a mild dose. And I thank God my body took care of it. And so I have had COVID. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm an old man, and this is the first time, the very first time, I am glad a test came back positive. Literally, in my life, you can go down the list.
Oh my God!
Gonorrhea, syphilis, AIDS, pregnancy, paternity.
Okay.
Go down the list. I've been praying for negatives all my life. I got a positive. I'm like.
So let me ask you this. Does that mean that you're immune to it now? Because that's the question that,
No, they don't know yet. They don't know. They know that I'm more than likely not to get it again, and it's definitely not going to affect me. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to look, I'm still distancing and doing all that stuff a little less. I am going to get on a plane and go see my nephews.
Oh, jeez.
I'm gonna be the John Travolta boy in the rubber ball in the plastic bubble.
Yeah.
In the plastic bubble. Mm-hmm. But yes. So I had to make songs because I just took a COVID test. Turns out I have already had that shit.
Wow. So that is amazing.
Okay. Please get tested, because trust me, the feeling you have when you realize you have it and you've already beaten it, it's fantastic. I joke about it, but it really does feel great. And my mother is over the moon. I called her twice. I told her to tell her, and I called her right before we started doing this. Uh-huh. And she's like, I'm just bouncing off the walls. I'm so glad to hear that report.
So the bouncing off the walls has nothing to do with the cleanse that you're currently going through.
What is this? I have gone a full 19 days, 19 days
God.
with no solid food. I've not chewed in June. First was a master cleanse. I have not chewed in June. First was a master cleanse. And now I'm just drinking juices to get protein and vitamins and vegetable juices.
So do you think the cleanse helped you in not only in cleansing your system, but may have helped in fighting off, or did it have anything to do with it?
It's a great question. I changed about 5 or 6 years ago. I changed what I kind of put in my body in different ways. And I think that overall has helped. Juicing and cleansing over the past few years, I think, is part of it. Mm-hmm. I've done things that have purposely, hopefully, strengthened my immune system.
How much weight have you lost?
Okay, you ready for this? Are you sitting down?
Because you look thinner.
I feel thinner.
You're almost rumor thin. he had the Rona.
Who?
You.
That's so funny. I almost forgot. So March 2nd, I don't own a scale. I do not have a scale in my house.
Right.
When I cleanse, I don't do it for weight. It's a byproduct. It's for clarity. Mm-hmm. But I did go to the doctor for my annual physical on March 2nd, and then earlier this week I went for my Rona test, and they weigh you every time. I don't know why they feel like I weigh you every time they go in, and blood pressure and weight every time you go into the doctor.
Sure.
I'm not quite sure why. I get blood pressure because that might change, but weight is like just that it can make fun of you if you weigh. Mr. Hill. Woo. Is it just like the nurse's ability for levity? Are you eating the medicine? March 2nd, the difference between March 2nd and earlier this week, 25 pounds less.
Get out of town.
I couldn't believe, I still kind of don't believe it, but it was the same scale in the same doctor's office.
Now you've done the Master Cleanse before. Did you lose that same amount of weight, or was it comparable before?
I had started losing the weight before the Master Cleanse. The Master Cleanse was only the last two. Well, June 1st is when the Master Cleanse started. Mm-hmm. And I think I was down probably about 10 or 11, maybe 12 by then. And I think the cleanse was the rest.
Wow.
But now it's about maintaining, you know, I have no muscle mass. Luckily it's summer. It's not, if it were spring, stiff winds would blow me over. You know, I got no muscle mass. I look like the Popeye. I hold my arm up and the Popeye thing where it just jiggles underneath. That's kind of where I am right now.
Let me ask you this. Would I have seen you in any of those pictures from Central Park over the weekend, in which men were out getting some sun and air on their bodies and showing that they could wear a thong with no embarrassment? Did you see those pictures?
Well, in what part of the park were they taking pictures?
Your park?
was it on the east side, west side?
Yes, it was.
No, I was not there, but I love that. Look, the greatest thing that ever happened for this corona, seriously, is that it happened in the winter, because two things are true. Once the sun comes out, fun comes out, right? Everybody's out. Everybody would be out. It would be hard to social distance. And two, number one, did you realize how bad your breath was until you did the mask? Did you realize how stank your breath was? I know I didn't realize how stank my breath was. Did you realize how stank your breath was? Oh, you don't want to answer it?
Okay. All right.
Allow me to jump in. I had no idea how bad my breath was.
Oh, my.
Until I had to wear a mask all of the time.
Oh, right.
All of the time. And now I'm like, oof. Anyhow. So the point is, there's no point, really. Speaking of which, felony murder charges.
Okay, so I thought that was an abrupt change there, but okay, going from Can You Feel a Brand New Day, but the Rayshard Brooks, this has happened since last we spoke.
Yes.
Right? Rayshard Brooks, a young man, 27 years old, had a little too much to drink, went to a Wendy's and fell asleep in the drive-thru lane. Cops were called. Cop came, talked to him for 30 minutes. Very, very non-confrontational situation. They decided they were going to arrest him, and then things became confrontational. They scuffled as they tried to handcuff him. He grabbed and he I don't know what kind of physical ability this young man had, but to watch that video, and he got the upper hand, grabbed the cop's taser and ran off, turned back around, and one of the cops shot him twice in the back. He died after surgery at the hospital. And today, as we speak, charges have come down, a felony murder charge against the one cop, and also aggravated assault on both cops. The cop who did the killing, Garrett, has been fired. He was fired immediately. And the other cop is put on administrative duty. And
let me add some color to that. The conversation, as you mentioned, was 30 minutes. And during that 30-minute conversation, in case you have not seen the tape, Rayshard Brooks could not have been more polite and more forthcoming with information.
Yeah.
They asked him if they could pat him down. He had no problem with that. So they knew there was no weapon. Rayshard Brooks offered more than once to just I think he offered once to stay in the car, or mm-hmm. I could walk to my sister. Was it sister's place?
Yeah.
He offered to walk to his sister's place, which is right over there, and he pointed. He could not have been kinder. It's so disturbing because, like George Floyd before him, this shines an unbelievably bright light on how policing should go.
Yeah.
All the police had to do was either, I'll give you a ride home,
mm-hmm.
stay here in your car, walk to your sister's house. That's it. They were so focused on penalizing a black man who posed literally no danger to anyone.
Right.
They were so hell-bent on punishing him. The number of times he kept saying, "Will you blow into this breathalyzer?" And dude so politely was saying, "I'm drunk.
I'm telling you. I'm sorry.
I'm saying it with my vim and vigor, not with what he said." He was like,
"Right.
Sir, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been drinking. I'm drunk." But he was the number of times you could tell that Garrett was bent on somehow taking this guy down when he posed no problems.
Right.
Is an exact. This is textbook is like, this is how policing should not go. If you're here to protect and serve, and yes, he was drunk and driving by the time when he got to the Wendy's. So what? He hurt nobody and is clearly not armed, not a challenge. I'm sorry. Anyhow.
And that's essentially what the DA said in announcing the charges. He said that video indicated this man was so non-confrontational. He was so polite. He was so forthcoming in the conversation that that is why the charges that he presented on Wednesday, that's really colored his decision to file those charges. 11 charges against the cop who killed him and 3 charges against the second cop. And the second cop was charged because after Rashard Brooks was down, after he was shot and he was down on the ground, this guy put his foot on his shoulder.
No.
Yes.
Oh, I turned off the video before that. I did not know that.
And not only did he put his foot on his shoulder, Steve, but they took time to gather up the shell casings. 2 minutes and some seconds before they went to call and to administer aid.
Astonishing. The reason, and I will say, the reason I played Brand New Day as a transition into this is because all of this happened in 1 week. All of this has happened since our last podcast.
Yeah.
All of this has happened. And but for George Floyd, but for you all and your kids and your grandkids taking the street, but for that, we may still be waiting for charges to come down. But
yep.
because of you on the street and what happened with George Floyd and what's been going on, and because Black Lives Matter is finally seeping into the consciousness of folks, this was handled swiftly and with the highest possibility of charge, I believe close to the highest possibility of charge that could have happened. So I always looking for the positive of something that this happened so swiftly. I applaud the GBI. I applaud the DA for getting it done.
And I got to give it to my girl, Mayor Keisha yes. Lance Bottoms. She is the ish. That's my girl. And she's also on the short list for vice presidential candidates for.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's on the short list?
She's on the short list. 4 black women on the short list.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 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 A lot going on this weekend.
Yes.
One of the things is that.
Trump's rally. Oh, thanks for reminding me. Oh, my God. I thought I was going to forget it. Trump's rally is happening.
I don't know if you know, but they changed.
Oh, I was going to forget.
They changed the date.
What?
They changed the date.
From when to when?
Well, it was going to be on
June 19th. Is that on Juneteenth anymore?
No, it's going to, because you know what? Son of
a
gun.
What a chip.
Yeah, that's what his supporters are saying too. they didn't realize that they had scheduled it for Juneteenth and what Juneteenth means to the Black folks in Tulsa, especially where the greatest and the most horriblest race riot took place in that city almost 100 years ago, 99 years this year. And so they changed the date. It's going to be on Saturday, the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's still
in Tulsa. And the folks will still be out there knowing exactly what he means. His bird whistle is not going under.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely not. Definitely. Yeah.
Dog whistle. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But you're right. Dog whistle. But it has really opened up a lot of conversation, not only what has happened in terms of our racial equality discussions and coming of age in terms of a lot of awakening for some folks, but a lot of discussion about Juneteenth. What is Juneteenth and what does it mean? And I was born and raised in Chicago. I will tell you that for people who don't know. And Juneteenth wasn't a big deal growing up in Chicago. I don't know about you, Steve, in DC, but no. In Chicago it wasn't. And not until I moved to Texas did I realize what the import was of this holiday. And it's been a state holiday in Texas for many years.
Same with me. My one June in Dallas was kind of the tipping point for me for understanding. And I didn't even understand tragically because, you know, you're not taught this in high school. You're not really taught this unless you go deep into American history in college, right? It's not something that's taught to you. So I was horrifically ignorant of what Juneteenth was before I moved to Dallas.
And I with you. Yeah, I mean, I understood. I heard of it, but we just didn't. In Chicago, it wasn't. There was some discussions, but definitely not the way it is in Texas and other states now, but definitely in the state of Texas. And so as we discuss this event, there is a movie that is going to be released on Friday. So by the time you hear this on Netflix, and it's called Miss Juneteenth. And we have the director and of the movie, Channing Godfrey Peoples. Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Hi, it's such an honor to be here. I'm overwhelmed at the invitation. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, the honor is ours. I am so excited about this movie. And this is just from the trailer I've seen. I'm so excited for you. I'm excited about the topic. I love everything about it. It just looks so beautifully shot. It looks like so rich with history. And I'm just excited. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me again. I'm happy to be here.
So Channing, you are from Fort Worth, Texas?
Yes, I'm Fort Worth born and bred, and I really, you know, I say that I've been making Miss Juneteenth all my life because I really have such fond memories. You know, Juneteenth was such a big part of my formative years and even part of my life as an adult. And so I definitely wanted to be able to approach a story that had Juneteenth in the backdrop. And even more special for me was the Miss Juneteenth pageant that was the centerpiece of the Juneteenth holiday. And I know that you all were having some wonderful discussions about Juneteenth and discovering it and what it meant to you. But for me, the Miss Juneteenth pageant, which is a scholastic beauty pageant for young African-American women, was something. It was my version, honestly, of Miss America. It was where I could go every year and see all these young, beautiful Black women on stage that look like me. And I could see them with all their talents and intelligence. But I think most important for me was seeing the confidence and hope on their face. And for a young Black girl in Fort Worth, Texas, which is a conservative city itself, it gave me a sense of affirmation and confidence. And it's just something that I've taken with me my whole life.
Wow. And being Deborah Peoples' daughter doesn't hurt either.
Absolutely.
So were you ever a part of the Miss Juneteenth contest?
I wasn't, but I'm clearly nostalgic.
Yeah.
I'm here, you know, I've been fighting to make a movie about it for a long time. And, you know, Miss Juneteenth is born. But I think for me, you know, even more than having been involved was, you know, what I just mentioned. I look at it as an adult and, you know, those images just of those women are so strong, especially for a young African-American child in Fort Worth, Texas. And I think that's a big part of why it stayed with me. It's also the pageant really is about, it's different than a stereotypical beauty pageant. You know, it's about empowerment. And I definitely think that the mentors and, you know, the committees that put on Miss Juneteenth really feel like they are preparing young African-American women for the world.
Wow. It is so, it just looks, I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it. Sorry.
No, you go.
So, and this is a movie, this movie has gone through the Sundance circuit already, correct?
Yes. You know, this has been obviously, you know, I was listening to the show and, there's so many things that are going on in the world and especially within the African-American community. You know, before, COVID, before all these traumas started happening again, we premiered at the Sundance Film Festival this year, in the U.S. Dramatic mm-hmm. Competition. And, that was really a special time because we got to show the film in front of, audiences. But, we were also supposed to play in South by Southwest and sadly that got canceled, but,
yeah.
They were really great because they pushed through and we were able to, win a really special award there. It was the Lewis Black Lone Star Award, which is, you know, especially for a film that's made in Texas. So that's really special. So
wow.
I'm really looking forward to, you know, the film going out into the world because audience really haven't been able to see it yet since Sundance. So.
Channing, this is your debut as a screenwriter and director.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. I'm sorry. it is. it feels like a little bit of everything, but yes, yeah. It's my first feature film. I had, you know, done some shorts. I went to USC Cinema in Los Angeles, and mm-hmm. I actually did my student thesis film in the same community in which we shot Miss Juneteenth, which is the south side of Fort Worth, Texas, you know, which is a big part of my growing up. And I really wanted to conceive a film around the community in which I grew up because it's a community I feel like that I saw the beauty in and the dignity in, and especially the resilience, and the people just have this grit. So I really built this film around the community that I grew up in.
It really seems like a love letter to Fort Worth, to the south side of Fort Worth.
Absolutely. Like I grew up in Texas, but I had a great conversation with a writer one time, and I think she wrote about me, you know, the film being in Black Texas. And so mm-hmm. I definitely say that now, you know, I grew up in Black Texas and it was completely affirmative for me, you know, and a big part of the reason I'm here is because of growing up in that neighborhood and people supporting me and saying, when I said I wanted to be an artist, you know, they opened their doors and, you know, supported in so many ways, their businesses and let us shoot there. And I feel really affirmed by my upbringing in this historically Black neighborhood.
We are talking to Channing Godfrey Peoples, and she is the screenwriter and director of Miss Juneteenth. It is out on Netflix as you hear this. And Steve, go ahead.
I'm fascinated by this because Hollywood is known for not supporting things. And here you've got at least four elements in this movie that Hollywood had to have turned their side at. And just be honest about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Black woman director, a subject matter mm-hmm. that only Black people supposedly care about, with two leads that are Black women that are they late teens, early 20s, or what's the age range of the
mother daughter?
Yeah, so mother daughter story. The lead Turquoise is 34, and her daughter is turning 15 in the movie.
Now, is it Turquoise or Turquoise?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Was the name Turquoise or Turquoise?
She's a turquoise.
So given all this, what was your path to support, right? Who were people you felt you could lean on to get this done through a very, very stodgy Hollywood system?
I mean, what's interesting is at USC, you know, a lot of the benefits of going to film school is to create relationships. Mm-hmm. And I literally connected with one of the producers named Neil Creaky Williams, who coincidentally happens now to be my husband.
I love
But we basically connected because he was from North Carolina, I was from Texas, and we were both wanted to tell stories about Black folks in the South, and multi-layered stories more than anything. And we also wanted to tell stories that had some kind of, you know, historical backdrop or was able to illuminate some kind of cultural moment. And so, you know, Neil and I really pushed the film up the hill together. He went through the Sundance Creative Producing Lab with the film in 2017 as a producer. And I went through some of the Sundance intensives, like the screenwriting and directing intensive. And we were in some other development programs, and that really helped us push the film up the hill and get it made. But before that, we really had this attitude of we were making a film that was accessible because I wrote it around the spaces and places that I grew up in, you know, mm-hmm. So we were going to make this film no matter what. And, you know, part of this lead character, Turquoise's determination really comes from many of the women that I grew up with, you know, my mother, my grandmother, my aunt, the women in the community. And so I just had this determined spirit about the film. And, you know, I didn't care. And you're exactly right. Like, you hear all sorts of things when you make this kind of project, you know, especially with a Black woman lead, and especially about a community that's not often seen. Just like, it's narrow or it's not as accessible. And I beg to differ, because I think in the specificity, we've been able to really get the film in front of folks, and there's some universal themes that have seemed to connect with many people.
And because the mother-daughter relationship is central to all of this. And can you give us a little bit of that information in the background on that?
Sure. Just, you know, to kind of tell you what the film is about, you know, I know you've seen the trailer, but I'll just say it here. It's about Turquoise, a former beauty queen who's now a hardworking single mom. And she's preparing her rebellious daughter, who's named Kai, for the pageant. And she's preparing her for the Miss Juneteenth pageant. And she's hoping to keep her from repeating her same mistakes.
And tell us about the women that are playing these roles, because one is a newcomer and one is one of my favorite actresses.
Absolutely. So we really, you know, Turquoise herself in the film, and I'm trying not to give too much away.
Sure, sure.
You know, we want people to be able to connect to it. But, you know, Nicole Beharie is a brilliant actor that is playing Turquoise. And, you know, she brought so much nuance to the role that I was really seeking for Turquoise, because in the film, she really navigates, so, you know, this emotional journey and her disappointments. Like, she has this hurt at navigating her lost dream. But most important, I really wanted to folks to be able to connect with Turquoise and her love for her daughter, and also the joy that is in their relationship, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Nicole's a brilliant actor, and she's playing Turquoise, and she just, you know, I can't wait for people to see it. She does an incredible job. And then the young woman playing the daughter, Alexis Chakwe, is actually an actor from Dallas, and she's a breakout because this is her first feature film.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
She's just incredible, you know, and I'm so excited for her and, you know, excited to see what she does next. Other than she's going to attend Howard University whenever
love
she can go back to school. Yeah.
Oh, you got to love it. There's so much about this. And I saw an interview with you, and you were mentioning the people that played important parts in your roles in your life. And of course, your mom, who is a brilliant community activist. And I understand that, by the way, Deborah Peoples has announced that she is running for a mayor of Fort Worth. I heard it was on Facebook, so you know it's true.
Yes.
But also other people in the community, and especially a woman who is known throughout Fort Worth, but especially because of her efforts to make Juneteenth a national holiday, and that is Madam Opal Lee. Can you tell
us
about her?
Yes, she's the queen.
Yeah.
She's the queen, and she's one of the women that I describe when I talk about, you know, people in the community being able to, you know, lift me up and push me forward in my endeavors. You know, I came to her early on. I mean, she's a big part of why I would see Miss Juneteenth every year, you know. Mm-hmm. And I came to her and Juneteenth Fort Worth early on and said, you know, we want to make this film. And they just opened their doors and opened their hearts and just said, come on in. But, you know, if anybody knows Madam Opal Lee, she's going to put you to work. So me and my husband in researching the film, you know, we had to go work with the Juneteenth committee, you know, work at the parade. We were working with the Juneteenth, but we learned so much. And I think it added to the authenticity of the film. And that was so important to me because I knew I was representing a community. And that, if I have any nervousness about this film coming out, is that I want them to see it and feel proud of it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so proud of you. And I don't know you. I haven't seen the movie. I'm just so excited.
I can't wait.
I really.
95% Rotten Tomatoes, by the way. Not that I'm a slave to Rotten Tomatoes, but I am. 95%.
That's
that
awesome.
Is an incredibly high percentage. And here's one thing. You want a little Hollywood biz, advice there? You want some little Hollywood biz advice? Do like everybody else in Hollywood does. Take responsibility and credit for things that you had nothing to do with, right? So when they
okay.
Oh, Shannon, listen to me. Listen. So when it starts getting around, like, oh, yeah. So when people are like, oh my gosh, you know, Juneteenth, I didn't know about it. Why are all these companies like Nike, Google, Twitter, Square, Lyft, New York Times, JCPenney, NFL, why are they recognized as a holiday now? Postmates, Fox, Square, and say, because of my movie.
That's right.
Because of my movie. Because my movie says so.
All right.
I just want to say that. I just want to point that out. I just little piece of advice from the old head. I'm just saying.
And all the people in New York State, too, you can give them credit for giving them the day off, a paid holiday, because the governor has just signed that. So law. So take that,
oh,
too.
Oh, wow.
Channing.
Oh. It was that Channing Cuomo summit that got it done. As a person from Fort Worth and really steeped in this movie, you've got to be proud to see Juneteenth getting the recognition that it so richly deserves, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm just I'm hoping for, you know, lasting change. You know, people should be, you know, for Black people, this is a time where we reflect and honor our ancestors, and we've been doing that for as long as I can remember. You know, all my life. And so, you know, I hope people, you know, can actually research Juneteenth and, you know, commemorate and also reflect. You know, this is absolutely a time for reflection. It's not just parades and blues music and everything. It was for me as a kid, but as an adult, you know, I learned the significance of it. And so Juneteenth is just special. For me, it's close to my heart.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's close. So I hope that everyone will go and don't borrow somebody else's password for Netflix this time. You know, go and really do, you know, your due diligence. Pay for the membership.
I just wanted to update something really quick. We're actually not on Netflix. We're on video on demand and digital, and we're coming out on no worries. We're coming out on Juneteenth itself. So the movie drops on June 19th. And when I say video on demand and digital, you know, all the places that you would, you know, assume it is you can pre-order now on Apple TV, Charter Cable, all those things on demand. And we're also in a few select theaters. And when I say that, some drive-ins and then standing theater.
What's the theater in Fort Worth?
The theater in Fort Worth is called the Granberry Theater, and they're practicing stringent social distancing measures. But there's also several drive-in theaters around the country. It's Atlanta, I believe. There's one now in Los Angeles. But people can connect to us on Twitter and on Instagram at Juneteenth Movie.
Juneteenth Movie. Okay.
Have a running list of where we're playing.
Right.
And strongly recommend, look, go on the video on demand. It's easy to get to access on your TV in case you haven't done it so far. It's where every single movie that was supposed to be in theaters is now on your TV. And here, I really hope they advertise Juneteenth like they do that doggone Invisible Man. I'm so tired of seeing advertisements for that Invisible Man movie. right? For Video On Demand. So hopefully Juneteenth will be done at least as much.
Well, we're going to pack up and pack up, make some fried chicken and some red Kool-Aid and pack up the car and do like we used to do, go into the drive-in movies. And some people are going to be hiding in the trunk. And we're going to go and see this out with social distancing and all.
That's right. Miss Juneteenth.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for the opportunity. You know, we're in a moment where Black voices need to be amplified, and I'm excited to have this film come out and hope that it creates a space so more Black stories can be told.
Not to push you or anything, Channing, but what's your next?
I'm working on my next original film, but I'm keeping it under wraps a little bit, even for my producer husband. But
how does that work?
That's what we do. We have to get the story straight first. But I typically make work about Black women on a step in the journey of their lives, and I typically, my work usually is worlds a lot like the specific world that you see in Miss Juneteenth. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to showing more worlds, and it's typically about the Black South too, so you probably can look forward to that.
Awesome.
Good. Well, once again, our producer Yolanda got it wrong because she told us you were going to snap back the other way from Miss Juneteenth and do a special on Columbus Day. So, Yolanda was wrong. Clearly, she was uninformed.
Not doing that.
She was like, I've gone too far to Miss Juneteenth. Got to go back to Columbus Day.
So I guess you're not going to do Casimir Pulaski in Chicago either. Okay. No, all right.
No. We have rich cultural traditions to make movies about. So.
Okay. If I had a job and was able to make money, I'd invest in you, Channing. I send you my good wishes until my unemployment kicks in. Channing, you are a delight. Channing Godfrey Peoples, thank you so much. Check out Miss Juneteenth Video On Demand. And
right now. Stop listening to us and then go to that.
Miss Juneteenth out on Juneteenth. Thank you so much. I cannot wait and really break a leg with this.
Thank you. Thank you all for the time, and thank you for amplifying this film. I'm really grateful.
Absolutely. Anytime. And come back and when you're ready to, tell the husband what your project is.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate you. Good luck. Miss Juneteenth, don't forget, you guys, on Video On Demand as we speak.
We could be, we could be like their gender reveal, right? Like if she's going to she holds the information, right, from her husband and then goes, hey, from ha-has to ah-has, we'd be a perfect place. He's like, oh, what's the movie about? Oh, you have to listen to from ha-has to ah-has. And we'd be like the gender reveal, like the reveal is she's doing the movie about ba-da-da. We could be that conduit.
A conduit. I like that. A gender, a film / gender reveal. I'm just saying Barbara Jordan's life story, I think, would be fascinating. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, Channing.
Okay. Right. One more before we move on, just one more time. One more time. And just think of when you've seen this in Hollywood.
Black. You're right. You're right. You made a great point.
Director about a holiday or an event or something that nobody who's not Black cares about. Okay, you could argue the girls' trip was Essence Festival. I digress. With a Black contemporary mother-daughter relationship in wide release. So please, Miss Juneteenth, make sure you check it out.
Wow, absolutely.
95%.
Rotten Tomatoes.
95% Rotten Tomatoes. Awesome.
Before we go, I just wanted to say that this is Father's Day weekend coming up. And, my dad has been deceased more years than, more years than I've been alive. But that's pretty close to it. He died when I was very young. But I just want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, all the men who are just such great role models in the lives of their children and still have such a profound effect on their lives. Mine is the friendships, I think, that I have. My dad was known as World, and he had great friendships, and they were very important to him, and I got his sense of humor. So I thank him for contributing to that to me, and also for not naming me Margot, as he wanted to do, and he allowed really? My mother to go with Sybil. Yeah. But he was a great guy, George Wilkes, and thank him very much, and all the other dads out there. Thank you so much.
Indeed. I take a flute of champagne and tip it to your dad while I listen to some Johnny Mathis.
Thank you for that recall.
I refine that and I admit it. I refine it only saying Happy Father's Day only to those fathers who have stepped up and taken the responsibility that you started when you was naked in bed with the mother, right?
Okay.
If that was the extent of your fatherhood, I got nothing to say to you at all for Father's Day. If that's what you thought being a dad was, or doing that and then posting on Instagram the things that you do, I got nothing to say for you this weekend. You get nothing from me. However, if you stepped up, even if you didn't want, even if that child was not a planned child, if you stepped up, even in the dearth of desire to do that thing, if you stepped up, despite what relationship you have with your mother, and I hope the mother, and I hope it was fantastic, if you are a role model to that child, and I know in your head right now you're thinking it's a male child, but if you stepped up and showed your female child what it's like, and what it's like to have a true king in her presence, so that when she goes out to choose, she picks a king, I salute you this Father's Day. You have done the thing. You have done the thing that we are put on earth to do, which is make more of us and then take care of them so they are healthy to take care of those ahead of them. Salute to you and only you all on Father's Day.
Ooh, that was powerful. Okay. Thank you. And I salute
you. I love and miss my dad always, every day.
And you know what? I agree with you. I agree. But I salute you and for the work you're doing with your ward, your faithful ward.
Thank you.
And the love that you have for him and your nephews. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So happy Father's Day to you, Stephen Hill.
Merry Father's Day to you as well.
Merry Father's Day. Well, there you have it. There's the music. And I'm so glad that you are negative positive.
Oh, wait. One more time. We got to play it one more time, right? Ow! I got the COVID. I had the COVID. Woo! And I don't got the COVID no more.
Oh, thank God.
I wish that upon everybody. I wish that upon everybody to have had the COVID and not have the COVID anymore.
No more. Okay. All right. So here we have another fun episode. And we truly did go from ha-has to ahas in this episode with Sybil Wilkes and Stephen Hill.
Sybil, I love you madly. I'm glad that I don't say this enough. I'm glad we get to do this and we get to spend this time each and every week. It means the world, and it's keeping me at an 8.
Oh, we want to bring it to 11.
11.
Thanks to our guest, Channing Godfrey Peoples, the director of Miss Juneteenth. Don't forget to check it out, video on demand. And go out there and celebrate who we are and how we got here this Juneteenth holiday. Let's go out there and do some good stuff.
Yep.
For each
but
other.
But don't be 2 years late. Like, that's the thing. Like, don't be 2 years late when you're doing it. Like, if that's the one thing we learned from Juneteenth, don't be 2 years late.
Yeah. You know what? That was the Pony Express. The mail service. They're really slow getting to us. Thanks, you guys. We appreciate it. We will talk to you next week. I am Sybil Wilkes, and he is...
I am Stephen Hill from Ha-Has to Ahas. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Ha-ha to Ahas. Sybil is here.